Ourselves have souls. Souls that do not perish with the body and which must therefore be pacified, lest they revenge themselves on us for taking away their bodies. Knud Rasmussen, polar explorer and anthropologist. Prologue. Now and then. The girl is beginning to return. She takes possession of her own unconscious skin as if wriggling into a wetsuit. Graceless, she slithers her way into fleshy cul-de-sacs and dead ends. She comes to life as if somebody were blowing air into a deflated rubber doll. She can't work out where her arms and legs should go, can't decipher up from down, can't remember how to breathe. Gradually, she realizes she cannot see. Her senses are all jumbled, smells and sights and sounds all swirled around like wet paint. She fancies she can touch colour, can taste crimson and iron, can reach out with her hands and grope at great liquid handfuls of darkness. She considers herself. She feels somehow waxy, oddly soft, a pig-fat candle, drowned flesh. At length, she becomes aware of the high, ringing sensation in the centre of her skull. She thinks of piano wire, pulled tight and then plucked with a coin. My name, she thinks. I don't know my name. The fear is coming now. Fear and pain. Adrenaline is flooding her. Sensations and feelings start to logjam at the knot of muscle and bone and nerve endings at the top of her neck. Suddenly, she's gagging on scent. Scorched feathers and yesterday's rain, sandalwood and oil, mushrooms past their use-by date, meat, all sweaty leather and mildew. She realizes she can taste a little, herbs and tobacco. Her tongue is swollen, too big for her mouth. Her lips tingle. There'd been a drink. A cold brown soup slopped from an earthen bowl. It had plants in. Some wormy tuber had touched her lip as she lapped at the brew like a cat with a saucer. Memory again. Music. A guitar on a strap. Bare feet in the shimmering puddles within the underpass. The honey drink. She can taste its sweetness, can remember the touch of the green gold bottle upon her lip, the reckless way they had passed it between them, brim unwiped, giddy on their new friend. She tries to move. Blood rushes into her fingers, her toes. It cuts through the numbness. It's as if hundreds of pins are pushing out through her flesh. She squirms again. Her face is constricted. It feels like she's being squeezed. There's pressure behind her eyes and across her sinuses, as if she were hanging forward. She's on her belly, on the table, looking down, staring at... And now she realizes she can see a little. Darkness, shapes, soft edges and hard edges and something just out of sight. The floor is moving. Snakes and eels wriggle beneath a thin carpet of leaves and paper and dirt. She blinks again, hard, eyelids pressed together like lips refusing the spoon. A fast, feathery panic flutters at her chest as she forces herself to see through the hallucinations and to focus on what is really there. A memory, sudden and vicious. The girls. Her friends. Following the stranger, smoking his cigarettes, drinking his honeyed wine, tripping after him like ducklings after their mother, heads swimming with the sweet golden wine. There'd been a fire. Branches blackening around a small red-gold flame. They had danced and smoked and drank, and then he'd begun to tell them what he believed. He'd begun to talk about his great undertaking, about the journeys, his gift, and he had made them drink. They'd gagged on it, scared and shivering, and each wanting the other to do something, to say something.